This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about exposures. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Recently, I've avoided using some utensils that I have in my kitchen, specifically a black plastic spatula and a black plastic soup ladle. That's because I heard all of these terrifying news reports about black plastic.
It's probably in your kitchen, in toy bins, and in the bathroom. We're talking about black plastic.
A new report found certain kitchen utensils and food trays made from recycled black plastic contained toxic chemicals.
Experts say you want to replace your black utensils with silicone ones, metal, or wood.
But it turns out the findings of the study that these reports are based on contained a pretty big error. Alan Yu explains.
Last October, The Atlantic published a story with a simple headline, "Throw out your black plastic spatula." Here's the gist of the article and many others that followed. Black plastic, if it's not made from new materials, could come from recycled electronic waste, like old TVs, computers, keyboards, and so on. Those products contain flame retardants to prevent them from catching fire. An advocacy group called Toxic Free Future tested consumer products like sushi trays, children's toys, and yes, spatulas for flame retardants. They found that these products do indeed contain varying levels of flame retardants, and that sparked a panic.
People looked at the plastic utensils as if they were murderous items.
Chemist Joe Schwartz is the director of the Office for Science and Society at McGill University in Quebec,
which has the mandate to separate sense from nonsense, myth from fact.
He has taught a course on plastic for many years. Joe read this study that people were frantically asking him about, and he noticed a big problem. The researchers measured how much flame retardant was in black plastic items and compared it to what's called the reference dose. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency sets reference doses to say how much of this chemical can you be exposed to before it becomes a health problem. The researchers said if you cook with black plastic utensils, you could be exposed to a level of flame retardant that gets close to the reference dose.
And it just seemed like they had the wrong number of zeros. When they calculated the exposure to the flame retardants in this plastic, they calculated that the average exposure was something like 37,000 nanograms. And they compared that to the 42,000 and they said that it was close to the limit.
Except the researchers got the limit wrong. It is, in fact, 420,000.
Of course, it's not close to the limit because they're off by a factor of 10.
So Joe says, don't worry, you are not at risk of eating a level of flame retardant that gets dangerously close to the EPA's reference dose. At least not unless you're cooking with and eating out of black plastic containers 10 times a day. I contacted Toxic Free Future for this story weeks ago and did not hear back. They did publish an update to the journal article. They corrected the math error, but say that it does not change their conclusions. Now, you can just dismiss this as a funny story that smug math teachers can use as a cautionary tale.
When I grew up and went to school, it was before calculators and then computers, and we actually learned how to multiply things in our head.
But Joe commends the researchers for doing the study because they identified a real problem.
That plastic should not be recycled into items that come in contact with food.
Now, not all black plastic containers or utensils are made with recycled plastic. But for those that are, how does the black plastic from electronics get into the mix? Joe says when recycling companies sort plastic waste, they use infrared light to separate out various kinds of plastic.
Depending on how they reflect the infrared light, they're detected, and then a puff of air blows them off of the conveyor belt into different bins. I mean, it's unbelievable technology when you see this in action. But because the black isn't detected, it just goes straight through. and it goes into the final bin, which ends up in landfill.
Black plastic inadvertently gets sorted out of the recycling stream. So, if companies want to make kitchen utensils out of recycled black plastic, they have to find a source. And this is where electronic waste comes in. Old phones, computers, TVs, and such get sorted in a different process that separates many kinds of materials, including precious metals. And in this process, black plastic is saved. The problem is that plastic from electronic waste is not supposed to end up in food containers and utensils. That said, Joe says please do not throw out all your black plastic utensils, because one, they're not as dangerous as you might have heard, and two, if you throw them away to be dumped in a landfill, that's not really great either. But if you are thinking about buying new kitchen utensils, then consider buying ones made of steel or wood.
So, of course, we have to minimize our use of plastics. In this particular case, if this whole story alerts people to being more careful about what they use and what they buy, then it will have served a purpose.
I also spoke to Gideon Myrowitz-Katz, an epidemiologist in Australia. He wrote a story for Slate with the headline, "I'm not throwing away my black plastic spatula."
All of my utensils currently are black plastic, except for the stainless steel ones that I use on my stainless steel pan. I'm happy to send photos to anyone who doubts me. I can post them online.
He says the other purpose this example can serve is demonstrating how to read scientific papers critically. His issue with the paper, aside from the math error, is how the researchers measured the level of flame retardant from cooking with black plastic utensils. What they did to simulate this in a lab is boil plastic in oil for 15 minutes and then measure the amount of chemicals in the oil.
In real cooking, you don't just leave your cooking utensils inside your oil for 15 minutes if for no other reason than they start to burn and smoke and set fire to your kitchen.
But he says this study does prompt more questions about the manufacturing process of black plastic that another organization or government agency could answer.
It does seem like they've identified a problem, but we have no real idea of how widespread the problem is.
He also says this example illustrates the difficulty of accurately discussing science in a way that interests people who are not scientists.
There is an inherent tension between accurate representations of scientific research and the news, the media, because people, by definition, are only interested in new and interesting news. That's what the news is, right? But if you communicate science with all of the nuance, it's often quite boring.
Most studies add a small piece to a larger scientific question. It is rare to have a true scientific breakthrough, so it is unrealistic to expect a constant stream of paradigm-changing scientific research. He says in his own field of epidemiology, he suggests that people think carefully about whether a new finding actually applies to them or not.
Epidemiological research is often interesting to people like me, who look at entire populations of millions of people, but it's often not as important to the individual who's reading the newspaper article or whatever.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.